He is a good, good Father. We've sang about that. But when we think about that, mostly we think about His love for us and His sacrifice for us as He put Jesus on the cross bearing the penalty of our sins. Thank you, Lord, for that. But you have to understand, His restrictions are also demonstrating His goodness to us. His restrictions. How He wants us to live. How He wants us to think. Those are just as much showing His goodness as His love. You put restrictions around your children. You say, don't touch the hot stove. You teach them how to be courteous. You teach them to be thankful. You teach them all these things. That's the restrictions you put around them to teach them that. And that's what God does for us as well. And that's what He does for us parents. Psalms 127 verse 15, children are a gift, that's the words inheritance, from our Lord. They are a gift. A gift or inheritance in the Hebrew language emphasizes that the family's growth and survival are not the results of mere human effort, but an incredible, unearned blessing from God. An incredible, unearned blessing from God. That's the way children are to be looked at. Folks, in our culture today, they are not looked upon as that. They are looked upon as anything but that. What about the unborn child, the child born outside of marriage? Are they still an incredible, unearned blessing from God? Oh, it needs to be a lot better than that, folks. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. What about the abandoned child, or the abused child, or the unwanted child? Are they an incredible, unearned blessing from God? Yes. Yes, they are. So as a result, we don't look at them differently just because the parents did things correctly, if you want to say it that way. This incredible, unearned blessing from God was never given to be redefined to what society or science dictates that they should be. It was never given to us that way. They were never given to be sacrificed on the altar of sinful desires or even to be made into our own image. So why did God bless us with children? Because we're good at it? No. Not a one of us. Not a one of us. We have already read that all souls belong to God. We've already read that. We understand that. Malachi says, and what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. There is the purpose God has given us children. He's looking for godly offspring. Children who know who God is. What God has commanded and learning to love and live through those commands. That is to be taught them by the parents with the church community wrapped on their arms around them. Now understand, this verse was written in the context of divorce within the family of God. How can a child, what Malachi is saying, how can a child grasp the covenant with God when you fathers are not keeping your marriage covenant? He's speaking to the nation of Israel. These are God's words, not my words. He says in Malachi 2, 15 and 16, so guard yourselves in your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. For the man who does not love his wife but divorces her says to the Lord, the God of Israel covers his garments with violence or cruelty in relationship to her and the family. So the Lord of hosts, so guard yourselves in your spirit and do not be faithless. What he's saying in the context of these verses, the garment is a metaphor for a person's behavior, both public character and concealed violent nature. Be careful is what he's saying. There's little eyes upon you. Now, divorce is not an unpardonable sin. Don't hear that, okay? But it does bring some different difficulties into your lives and in the lives of the children. And God has chosen marriage, the covenant of marriage, and staying with that marriage and growing with that marriage as an example of what His covenant is to the church of Jesus Christ. So what He's saying is, don't put your kids behind an eight ball just because of a divorce. Jesus changed the attitude of children in the Jewish culture. They were considered just things. They were considered cattle, kind of like cattle and so forth. Matthew 19, 13 and 14. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. Can you get that scene in your mind? Here's a mother or father bringing their child to Jesus. Would you just pray for him? Pray for him. And the disciples rebuked him. Rebuked him. Get away from Jesus. Don't you? He is so busy. He's not got time for this little children's thing. Get away from Jesus. We are protecting him. And Jesus said in verse 15, 14, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Don't put a stumbling block, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So Jesus changed the attitude of children in the Jewish community. So how can we prepare our children and the children that we have influence over to be godly children? Okay? Two sets of scripture. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. One and only is what that means. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate. Let's pray. Father, for powerful scriptures that you've given us in how we can think and lead and guide our homes and our children to be godly homes and to give our children the best possible opportunity to learn who you are, to receive you as Savior, to place within their heart the discipleship that they may walk in favor with you. So, Father, just please continue to open up your word, and I thank you for what you will say. For your glory alone, amen. Here's what I heard this week. Train, not just teach. Okay? Train, not just teach. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train is a biblical term which carries the idea of dedication. You're dedicated in initiation and created a restrictive pathway. All of those goes in raising a child. Dedicating that child to God Almighty. Dedicating your time and effort and all of that. Initiation, teaching them who God Almighty is, but also creating a restricted pathway so they stay on it, okay? Train up a child means dedicating and setting them apart for a life of wisdom and life with their Creator. Training implies guiding a child through the initial steps so they taste the incentives of wisdom. Training also carries the idea of restricting or guiding someone into a specific path, a narrow path. Prevent them from getting out of control or wandering into foolishness. Yes, we want to restrict that narrow path. Jesus said, narrow is the path that leads to salvation. So we want to make that narrow so that they understand. You can't force Jesus upon them, but you can train them. And you can teach them and allow that teaching to soak in the heart underneath the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Notice the verse says, train, not teach. Teach provides knowledge, instruction, and information. School systems are very good at teaching information. Very difficult and bad at getting them trained to live this life, okay? They've got to live that. Training is to develop abilities through practice with instruction. That's a teaching. And supervision, usually to keep them practicing, okay? That's what that means. Train also carries the idea of according to their bend or character. Not every child receives information the same. Not every child learns the same. It depends on their character. It depends upon their bend. Some you can be very forceful with. Some you've got to be less with that. In other words, you're not trying to pound a square peg of information into a round hole, okay? If you want to see me turn off, just set me in a classroom and just talk to me all day, okay? In about 5 minutes, I'm gone, okay? I got to have something doing. Well, kids are that away, okay? And how you diligently teach God's Word depends on the child. So in other words, you've got to know your child. You got to be present. You got to know them. You've got to understand the way they think and process in order to manage that, to get them on that narrow path, if you will. And here is the promise. They will never be able to get completely away from their godly training. I can't tell you that when they get grown, they will choose to walk in a godly way. I can't tell you that. It is their decision to do that. But I can tell you and promise they will never be able to get away from their teaching that they've received. It will always be in the back of their mind. And there are so many instances where in the 50s, 60s, mom dies, and all of a sudden, he receives Jesus. Why? Because it's been back there, beaten on his brain for 40 or 50 years. They will never get away from it, the teaching that they received as a young one. Jesus trained his disciples. He was teaching them. He showed and demonstrated. And then he gave them the ability to practice. And then he set them loose to change the world. Same thing with parenting. Train, not just teach. Live, not just train. See the progression? Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one and only. There is no one other than the Lord, than God Almighty. You, parent, shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. In other words, your teaching and your training flows from your relationship and from your love for God Almighty. And if that happens, the mistakes you make, they just can fade away. You are training using the mind of God. You can't effectively teach or train or give away something you do not possess. When Erica, I think, was in kindergarten. she wanted to play soccer. I knew nothing about soccer. Absolutely nothing. Here's the thing. The coach they had for her knew less than me. Less than me. He was gone for 2 weeks. I took over the coaching, and I couldn't coach them. I knew what they were supposed to kind of be doing, but I knew nothing about the game. I didn't know the ins and outs. So I couldn't give them anything because I didn't know. If you truly want your children to walk and live a godly, blessed life, parents, you've got to walk and live a godly, blessed life. Not perfect. Please don't hear me say that. There is no place for perfection in the godly life or in parenting. Verse 6, and these words, not your opinion, not whether it applies today or not, these words that I command you today should be on your heart. That means governing your walk so they can be seen in action. If you teach them to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and strength, it's got to be on your life because they're looking at you going, I don't see it. Well, that's what it looks like, okay? It's got to be you. You shall purposely teach them diligently. That word diligently means sharpening weapons like on a whetstone. You keep reminding. If you're sharpening a knife, you just don't go and you're done. You do it carefully. Little at a time you're taking off until you get that pointed edge. So often we want to take these kids of ours and bang that God's word in them. And it doesn't work that way. Little at a time. Diligently. Purposefully. And you shall talk to them. Not yell at them God's word. You know, if you keep doing that, Randy, God's going to get you. I didn't learn anything from that. I was the one who said, how long could it last? How bad could it hurt? And you know, God has a way of making all of those long and hard. You talk to them. does not necessarily exclude devotion time. It just depends on how you do that. But you talk to them. Make it seem like it's not an instruction. You're sharing your life with them as you walk along the road. Well, how do I do that, Randy? Look at what he says. When you sit in your house, having family time, when you walk, you're going somewhere, you're living your life. When you lie down, not just prayer time at night, when you rise, he's talking about our whole lives are dedicated to raising godly children. And you talk to them. You shall, parents, bind them or fasten them or make an alliance them on as a sign on your hand, governing how I respond. The Word of God. You shall be as frontlet before your eyes. The Jews actually did that. They're called phylacteries. And they would put them on their hands and they would bite this big box on their forehead because they thought that's what that meant, okay? What he's talking about is whatever you do, whatever you extend to do, it's passing through God's Word first. Whatever you think, whatever you respond, whatever is passing through your mind passes through, and as it's going out, through God's Word. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, governing everything that happens within your home. Do you see the dedication that it takes to have the children walking in the guidance of God Almighty when they get older? They've got to see it in the home. They've got to see it in the way you respond. Not in perfection, please don't. Satan's having a field day with some of you. Well, I didn't do it right. Don't. Not in perfection, but in continuing and in daily practice. And when you mess up, you go back to them and seek their forgiveness. I grew up a time we did not, you didn't get that. They need to see your repentant heart as much as they see your direction heart. They need to see you in God's Word, not just at church or Sunday school. You must be present in their lives. Present. The whole Jewish culture revolved around constantly reminding the nation of the children what God has done in their lives. We look and we study the law and the sacrifices and the feast to try and see what God is telling us. Here's the kind of God we serve. The Jewish family looked at them, and throughout the scripture it was like this: remember what God has done. Remember what God has done. We forget the awesomeness of God. We forget what He has done in our lives. We forget His promises. And what He's saying is that, look at what God has done. He took us out of Egypt. We were slaves. Had no opportunity to be free. He brought us out. It was His miracles. He's the one who watched over us the 40 years in the desert. He provided the manna. Don't forget this, Israel. The God we serve is an awesome God, but He's also a good, good Father. Do you know when the nation of Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years, their clothes didn't even wear out? The shoes didn't wear out. You can't keep a pair of shoes on a child for more than 2 or 3 months, but when they were in the wilderness, they didn't wear out in that desert. Because God is a good, good Father. And as a good, good Father, He puts restrictions on us. He puts fences around us, not because He's harsh, but because He longs to bless us. And His blessings are always found in His fences. The grass is not greener on the other side. There's hardship on the other side of those fences. Exodus 13:3. Then Moses said to the people, remember this day, speaking of the Passover. Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by the strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. Do not forget it. Now, folks, they didn't have the internet back then. They didn't have YouTube. And I say praise God for YouTube because lots of things get done around the house without it. So how are they going to make sure that their children know about it? They got to be instructed. The parents are to tell them. When they go to the great feast day, it wasn't just for feasting. It's so that the children could gather around and they say, what's this day all about? And they're able to say what God has done. When they come to the sacrifice and they see their mom or dad bringing the doves or the lamb for a burnt offering, why are we doing this? And they're able to say, we are sinful before God. And our sin demands a sacrifice. And this lamb is taking our place. But God has a great promise. When they were coming, crossing the River Jordan, Joshua instructed them that one person from each tribe of the 12 tribes were to get a stone big enough to put on your shoulder and come to the other side and drop it. Just drop it right there in a pile. Don't organize it. Just drop it in a pile. So you've got this big stone. You got 12 of them. So you got this huge stone right here. And you're tempted to say, why? That makes no sense to me. There's just a bunch of rocks. This is a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Why do we do Lord's Supper? It's a memorial of what God has done. That's why every time, and we're going to take this next week, that's why every time I say, get your children ready. Tell them what this means. Instruct them on this. Will they understand? No. But they'll understand more and more each time. Some may be sitting there going, Randy, I have really messed up. I want you to know it's never too late to start training. But my kids are out of the house. It is never too late to start training. Let their older kids now see a difference in you. I caution you about throwing Bibles at them and Bible verses and leaving tracks in their home for they to find. Doesn't work. But may they see your good works, your change of character, your change of focus. And under the direction of the Spirit of God, He will begin to soften their heart and they will look at you. Randy, well, is it guaranteed that they'll choose salvation? No. But folks, a child could grow up in the most godly of homes, and that's no guarantee of salvation because each person is unique and must make that choice themselves. I don't think I'm up to it, Randy. Well, just like Queen Esther, you were created for such a time as this. Such a time as this. Never give up a child or relationship to hopelessness. And I know some of you have some very difficult relationships with your children. Never give that up. Once again, you don't know what God's doing in their lives or what the Spirit of God is doing out there. All you can do is live your life for the glory of God and stay in His fences. Moses was a mess for 40 years. Did you realize that? It's a mess. God had a calling upon his life, and he messed it up and was on the backside of a mountain taking care of somebody else's flocks. God never lost him. Never lost him. And when the time was right, he went and retrieved him, and he became the Moses we revere today. Give yourself some grace. Amen? Amen. Give yourself some grace. There's no part of our lives that are perfect. No part. And raising children is that a way as well. Give yourself some grace. Perfection does not exist. Train your eyes to acknowledge the daily wins. Did everyone get fed today? Yeah. Did we lose anyone throughout the day? No. Was there a laugh? Was something happened today that we just, you just laughed? Catch those. We are very good at holding on to the things we think we did wrong. Look for the wins for the day. The wins. But I didn't get the carpet swept. Yeah, but they all got fed. No one went to the hospital today. When? When? Look for the daily wins. Understand that some phases are frantic and temporary. So focus on the core of your role rather than the clutter. The core of your role is to lead them into understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done. The carpet will get swept at some point. But this teaching moment, you ever notice that some of those teaching moments are when you're the busiest? Yeah, I understand. And sometimes I've had to repent of that. I've got to get this done. Remember your core responsibility. Not everyone is judging you. And those who do, they don't countermatter. They don't countermatter. Your adult children's decisions are their responsibilities, not yours. Some of you just need to write that in your Bible. They're not your responsibility. You've governed them to the best of your ability, not in perfection. They're making decisions on their own. That is their decisions. We can make it easier or harder, depending on our lives, but it's their, ultimately, it's their responsibility. Can anyone say Adam and Eve, who had a perfect father? Yeah. So I'm going to ask today that you be at peace, that you grasp how special you are in the lives of your children, your grandchildren. That you have been graced by God with someone that is incredible. Incredible difficult at times, yes, but incredible. And he has a plan for their lives just as he has a plan for yours. And if you think you can't do it, you're not up to it, remember Queen Esther, for such a time as this, you've been placed upon this earth and God has blessed you with their child. Go and enjoy the life that he is offering to you. We are not perfect in anything we do, but we are blessed. Stay in his fields. Lead and guide your children, knowing that that is your core responsibility. And give plenty of room for the Holy Spirit to do his great and awesome work in their lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for trusting us. When we wouldn't even trust ourselves, you've trusted us with children in our lives. Not just our children, but as we're a part of this congregation, there are children all over the place that you've placed in our lives, and they're precious to us. And we don't always understand that. How incredible they are. How unique they are. How precious they are. And Lord, we will be the first to say we don't know how to raise them. As they go through their different phases, we think we get one figured out and they change. But we will acknowledge today that you're their God, not me. That I am to stay in the fence with my life, that they may see what that looks like. That when it comes for them to choose their fences, that they will be able to look back and see the ones we have put around our lives. And to know that they are ultimately yours, and your Spirit will lead and guide them just as much as he has us. So now, we dedicate them to you, whatever you want to do in their lives, however you want to handle them. And Lord, it's they're yours. Use them for your glory. And I thank you. Father, without Jesus, how lost we would be. So I pray that if there's anyone here who does not know the fatherhood of God through Jesus Christ, that they may come this morning and learn that you truly are a good, good Father. That our sin debt can be forgiven. And that we can walk through that gate of salvation and be in your field and begin to learn what it is to be your child. Father, we want to give an opportunity for decisions to be made, whatever they might be, whatever the Spirit has placed on their heart. And I pray now that you open up the altars for your glory alone. Amen.